Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special episode on the Magazine Rack, where we recap games we've played through the past year, and that year being the year 2020.
The year of the pandemic. We're all locked down.
The plague year.
If I'm being honest, it wasn't a very great year.
No, it was not.
Really? Why?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. Pandemic being one of the thousands of things that went wrong this year.
What happened to Murder Hornets? Bring back the Murder Hornets.
Murder Hornets, the world was on fire for a bit.
How about yours?
How about yours? But it's not the way I like it. I wasn't bored because there was always something new happening every day.
Yeah, my year is very, like, distracted.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we had a very good stride at the beginning of the year for, like, progressing through, like, the games we were trying to play and stuff.
Yeah.
And then, like, the world caught on fire between plague, protests, everything. Yeah. And, there is one week where, remember where there's that big protest outside, like, because me and Jack live right in the same area. Yeah. And it was, like, right down the street. And it was nuts. And like people were looting and all this other stuff right outside our places. And man, it was nuts. And I wasn't able to focus for weeks, able to like progress in the stuff we were doing.
Oh yeah. So discouraged to just even enjoy anything.
Yeah. It was rough. Like the listeners don't know, but it took us months to get through P3. Months. Yeah. Like all the other stuff was like, all right, boom, boom, boom. We were ahead of the curve. Like we had several episodes ready. Yeah. And then this hit and it's like, oh no. Oh. So like, luckily we had stuff ready. We had a lot of backlog stuff that we had done, but like, man, it set us way back. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we wanted to do this to kind of just talk about the games that we played this year. Not specifically games from this year, just the games that we played this year. So yeah. Most of our stuff falls kind of within the last like 3 years, and we're excluding games that we played for the podcast.
Yeah, we're going to touch down on them briefly. But the thing is, we want to have another episode where we specifically go over the games that we played for the podcast.
Yep, our season in review when the season's over, which we have we're a little over halfway through the season we had planned out. It was supposed to be done this year, but clearly is not. Without further ado. As the JRPG book club, we play JRPGs, right? That's kind of the point.
Yes.
We actually had a pretty good year for JRPGs, like, overall, I feel like.
It wasn't terrible. Like, you know, we didn't exactly get anything... Well, I was going to say we didn't get anything groundbreaking, but we got Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Which we've talked about ad nauseum.
Yeah.
We all loved it. It's such a fun game to play through. It was cool replaying, you know, something we all have a connection to, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a new light, which was neat.
Yeah.
That was cool. Like I don't want to talk about it more, but I want to talk about it more.
Exactly. Like that's definitely exactly how I feel. Where I'm like, you know, I've developed my thoughts on it a little bit more. But right. No, I'm going to save it for the episode. I'm going to save it for our recap.
Yeah, because I don't know. Yeah, there's a lot of things about it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I still think about it all the time. I'm like, oh, man, that was good. I need to go back and like platinum it and finish through everything or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, for me, the big JRPGs that were kind of on my radar / I played or wanted, and it's kind of like a generic list, not like specifically in order, was that. Persona 5 Royal. Both me and Ty played through P5. It was actually when we went to Japan, like I had the map of the train spots, and we were like crossing off all the places we went in Japan on that map. It was pretty fun. So like to say that we both like thoroughly enjoyed the original P5 is an understatement. And I haven't finished P5R. I keep slacking on that, but it's a lot, man. And we have a bunch of other stuff we're doing. But it is so, so good. And it is such a refined experience. Like P5 was great. This was like, damn, they did it again.
Yeah, like we talked about this briefly when we were talking about our picks for the Game Awards, where I said that I really like P5R. I'm not going to say that I didn't like it. Like I had a lot of fun on it. It was an improved Persona 5 experience. Like, mm-hmm. My only issue is that it is, like, kind of just
it's DLC-ish.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing is, the extra chapter is nice. The extra characters that you talk to are like really cool. Like, I really ended up connecting with them. And the new areas are really great. But the thing is, as I played through it, the more I kind of said to myself, like, why wasn't this just part of, why wasn't this just out of five? Like, why wasn't this in the like original game? It wasn't enough to be like, oh yeah, this deserves its own game. But it was enough that it was like, okay, I can see why the game didn't launch with this.
I think a big part of that just goes into like how Atlas and stuff like that produces stuff. I think them doing, I mean, A, it gets them more money. That's key point. But you know, back in the day, you couldn't release DLC, and the people kept making more and stuff, right? Because like 3 and 4 were originally released on PS2, you know, so like you couldn't really do an update like that. P5 is like the first like main series one that wasn't a remake or an add-on, like, you know, it was PS3 or something, but it was a PS2 game originally, right? So like it's the first one on that nature. So like playing it now, I'm like, well, why wasn't this just DLC? Like, I would pay for this as DLC. It's enough content to warrant it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So outside of a financial aspect of like, yeah, they just wanted more money. But I think a lot of people are talking about that right now, where it's like, yeah, this should have just been DLC. I've read a lot of articles about it recently where it's like they need to change the format because it's really annoying to most of the player base. At this point, because like before, there's a reason for it, like technical limitations. Now there's no reason for it.
Yeah, because for me, like my other issue is that it just made Persona 5 just invalid. Like, you just don't buy Persona 5 anymore.
Exactly.
Like, there's no reason for you to get Persona 5 over Royal.
Like, exactly.
Even calling back to like Persona 3, like, you know, there was a difference between Persona 3 Portable and Persona 3 Fest.
Right.
Like, FES was technically like the complete version of Persona 3, but the portable game brought a whole new elements to it and like changed the story, like added a new path. Like,
well,
it didn't change the story so much as it had just like changed the characters you interact with.
Right. Well, both of those invalidated the original one, just like Persona 4 Golden invalidated the original one.
Yeah.
So it's just an intrinsic problem of a updated version being better.
Yeah.
Like, because what'd you say?
Sounds so backwards. Like,
especially nowadays.
Yeah.
Again, before there was a reason for it. Now there's no reason for it. Now it's just a update your game.
On another version. Like, I get there's Game of the Year versions and stuff for certain games, but like this just feels like it should have been a DLC just slapped on in the eShop or something.
Yeah. Like, I love fighting games, and like, you know, something that we got used to over the years was Street Fighter 4, Super Street Fighter 4, Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition. But the thing is, even they, like, after Third Strike, when they got into the Xbox era or the Xbox 360 era, it was like, okay, we could just do the new versions as DLC.
Yeah.
And like, it's 100%. Like, and you know, people still called that a cash grab, but it's like, yeah, but I'm only paying $10 to get all these new characters, these new stages, and all these gameplay changes.
Right.
I'm paying a full 60 again for a new game. Well,
just think of how they updated arcade machines in the past.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I wasn't buying it, but like it was an update. It was you know, like somebody would have to come in with a chip and update the console and stuff.
Yeah.
So like it's the same kind of thing. Like, why don't we just update it? We used to do that, you know, and we can make you pay for it on top of it, which is even better for them.
No, I will always make fun of Arc Systems and BlazBlue, because BlazBlue, I think, went through like 5 versions and you had to individually buy all of them.
Oh man, that's terrible. So P5R, FF7R, I played Tokyo Mirage Sessions this year. Tokyo Mirage Sessions FE Encore. I didn't get to play it on a Wii U because I never had a Wii U, because I never had a Wii U, just like most people.
I was like one of the minority that had a Wii U and thoroughly enjoyed it. And
I think it's a great console. Like, don't get me wrong, I might joke about it, but I really like the hardware that was showcased there.
And they had really good games, so much so that they're porting them to the Switch. So it's
That's the thing. It's, if we want to talk about invalidation, that's 100% what's happened. There's only one game. Yeah. There's literally one game I want to be ported onto Switch now, because it's the only reason I would ever even consider, which it doesn't make me consider it, but only reason I would even consider getting a Wii U And that's Wind Waker HD, because that's my favorite Zelda game.
See, there's still talks about some Zelda, I think it was like next
like
year.
HD like collection type thing.
HD collection, like they did Mario.
Yeah, that's the rumor.
Princess, Skyward Sword and Wind Waker.
Give me Wind Waker, man. Put Wind Waker right in my veins.
For me, it's Xenoblade Chronicles X. That one, we're still waiting for that to be ported to Switch.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's one that I wouldn't mind checking out. But it seems right. Everything that you've told me about that always seemed like it's cool, but it takes too long to like actually like do the cool stuff.
Yeah, if you like the Xenoblade Chronicles games, then you'd be fine with this one. It's good.
I feel like I'm a mix at them at this point. Like sometimes I'm like, this is great. And then sometimes I'm like, eh.
It's a strange series because it doesn't play like anything else out there. And so it's very strange.
I would say about halfway through each one, I'm like, eh. Like, it's one of those where it's like, it's cool to start and then it like kind of falls off. Like they show me all the cool stuff. I'm like, oh, that's neat. And then I'm like, what else you got for me? And it's just kind of more of this like storytelling that I didn't really care about.
Well, that's how they'll get you with X, because halfway through, that's when you get your first skill.
That's true. That is true.
Run outside with your brand new skill and fly around and then get one shot.
Blows or whatever.
Blows up and you have to spend all this time grinding for money to get it.
What a bogus move. That's so shitty.
Because you think like, oh, now I'm invincible in this thing. But it's like, no, it's literally just a little boost to your character and you can lose it.
That's so dumb. Well, speaking of Xenoblade, that's on your list, isn't it?
It is. That remaster definitive edition came out, and I played it about got halfway through. It is still super gorgeous. Plays better, and it's good. Like I haven't played the new DLC of it, but it's still good. I would say that I'm a little bummed by the remastered soundtrack. It doesn't have the same, like, it still sounds good, but it's not as good as the original. Like they changed certain instruments and it kind of changed a little bit of like the best moments in the song, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I definitely understand. We talked about this briefly in another episode, but like they had the Undertale concert where they redid a lot of it. And oh yeah, so they redid all the songs, and like a lot of it's really nice, but there's times where like, you know, you just hear that extra instrument, or like they slightly changed it. Like a big one is like Hopes and Dreams in the original game is like this amazing track. And then for the orchestral, like you lose a lot of the stuff that made it really cool. It still sounds really nice.
Huh.
But it's not like, it doesn't have the guitar, it doesn't have like the 8-bit like
kind of. There's a part of it that was missing.
Yeah, yeah. And once again, still really like the orchestral cover. I still listen to it.
It's just different.
The original just had like this style to it that just doesn't translate to orchestra.
Yep. Well, that's the problem with music, and you translate it to a different format like that. Yeah. I feel like we get that with almost anything that gets orchestral that wasn't orchestral to begin with. So, yeah, so that's what it is. I mean, it looks, everything I heard about with the Xenoblade was good.
Yeah, Xenoblade's good. It's great.
Neat. and then one of the like sleeper hits that like kind of came out of nowhere for me, that I think both you and me and our friend Ian, who was on our Kingdom Hearts episode, we were both just like, "What? This looks so good!" And it's Yakuza Like a Dragon. My roommate got it, and I've gotten to play some of it. I've watched him play it. It is so much fun. It is such a like great take on the format of like JRPGs and stuff. Like it was so well done. Everything that I've seen about it, I haven't finished it. But like it takes the job system and makes it new. Like the main character Ichi, right? Mm-hmm. Was voted like one of the best like new characters kind of thing for the year at the Game Awards, and it's 100% deserved. He's a fun character. And like it's great because so he was like a fan of Dragon Quest as a kid in the game.
That's hilarious.
And, right. And so the reason for the JRPG mechanic is because he was a fan of it, and like in his mind, when he fights, it turns into like an RPG. Oh, that's and like cool. That's how he sees the world and stuff. So like when you change job, like you're in the world, when you go into combat, your clothes change. So like your, you know, whatever class you are and stuff. It's such a like a smart, well-written thing. And there's like a whole like Pokemon mechanic. There's nods to so many different RPGs. It's such a well-done game. I absolutely love it. That everything that I've seen so far about it. It's so fun. It's such a good-looking game too. It's very smart.
I'm excited to try it.
Yeah, I think we're talking about potentially doing an episode on it soon. And I think we should. One that both me and Jack had on our list was Phantasy Star Online 2.
Yeah. Good.
We've been waiting for that game to come out since Japan got it like what was it, like 10 years ago, 8 years ago, something like that. I think both you and me and then his cousin, we all downloaded it in Japanese, and there's like a very rudimentary like English patch, so you could like navigate the menus.
Oh, it was a whole process to do.
it was a pain in the butt to do. It was a lot of work, but man, it still holds up. It's still super fun, and they keep producing more. More content.
And I think the new episode is coming out where it completely rehauls.
Yeah, we just got episode 5. Episode 6 is coming out very shortly. They're doing like an event right now to roll out episode 6.
Is 6 that new one with where it completely redoes all the battle system and everything?
No. So basically what's happening is this year and maybe early next year is we're getting all the chapters that Japan got. Like okay. we're basically being fast tracked the last 8 years in this year to get all the story content. And then when was it New Genesis? When New Genesis drops, that's basically we're going to be on the same like release schedule as Japan.
Neat.
So it caught us up in a year. And it looks New Genesis looks amazing. I'm very excited to play it. Yeah. And it looks like a bunch of like so it's a fashion game, right? Not actually, but I love making my character look cool or look stupid. Either way, win-win for me. but like, it looks like all the like crossover stuff because they've done a bunch of crossovers with different games and stuff. And it looks like all that stuff's like usable in the new game and stuff, which is cool. Like I have a bunch of Persona 5 stuff. They've done a bunch of other things. Plus, as a free game, freemium. You know, take it as you will. it's still super fun. Like both me and Jack and then my best friend, we've all played it all together. Well, not together, but like I've played with each of them. And it was a very exciting launch. hyped for the last almost 10 years. Like we'd given up on it. We're like, oh, there's nowhere we're going to get this.
Right. I was like, there's no way. And then it got announced at E3.
And we're like, wah! That was like number one or two like biggest announcement out of E3. I'm like, what? We're finally getting this. I didn't believe it.
After all this time, after 3,000 years.
Yeah, I'm free. My other big, it was during the same time as PSO2, was Persona 4 Golden. I am an advocate of loving the PlayStation Vita, and one of the best games on the Vita is Persona 4 Golden, and it got a PC release, which is so exciting. Mm-hmm. I'm actually wearing my Persona 4 Golden shirt right now, or Persona 4 shirt right now. I love that game. It's probably my favorite of the Persona series, story-wise. And to see that so many more people, you know, picked up this game for the first time warms my heart.
Yeah.
Such a well-done game. I absolutely love it, for many reasons. And the fact that so many other people grew to love it, like one of my other friends played it, and he kept sending me like pictures of like, what is this bullshit? Like boss wise and stuff. I'm like, yeah, they do that where it's like, here's a spike in difficulty. Like you still get like the older Persona game where it's like a little bit harder than P5. But at the same time, like it's still really good and like refined enough. You know, like P5 was good and pretty refined, but like this is obviously a step back. But P4G like kind of has a good middle ground. Unlike P3, which we complained about because it was very unprocessed, like it's an older game. That's what it is. That's what happens. The games develop and grow and make things like streamlined and stuff. And P4 is a good middle ground between the two. And it's so good. I think it's on sale right now for the winter sale. So if you haven't played it, can't recommend it enough. We also had Trials of Mana come out this year. What a weird game that was, man. Like it's a remake of one of the other Mana games that was released only in Japan, I believe, right? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Where you choose your party of three out of like is it eight characters, something like that, eight or nine? And you make your own party, and like each one will have their own story, and it branches slightly differently and stuff. It's a weird game. I didn't get to play much of it, but I felt like it was worth bringing up because it was kind of a big release when it came out. And it's a mana game. It's the first like mana game we've had in a long time. It was very interesting. I didn't love a lot of it. There are things about it that were really cool and that I appreciate it, but it was also a faithful remake. So obviously it's like, it's cleaned up, but it's still that old game, which is fine. I like old games. But there's something about it I just couldn't super get into.
How about the soundtrack though?
Soundtrack's good.
Mana's always got a good soundtrack.
Yeah, that had a good soundtrack to it. That's for sure. I think actually most of the games, like Tokyo Mirage Sessions, had a very, very good, soundtrack. Obviously, it's a you're an idol, so music's kind of a big part. Persona 5 Royal is, don't get me started. I just bought the Persona 5 soundtrack repress, and then the Persona 5 Royal soundtrack that I'm Apid just did.
Yeah.
It cost me more than I should have, but it's going to cost me more if I don't buy it now.
Yeah.
And it's one of my biggest regrets that I didn't buy the initial one when it was released. Don't get me started on the Persona music, because we'll be here for hours, because yeah. I just love every song.
That has to be like its own episode.
Yeah, I'm down. 7R had amazing music. Yakuza Like a Dragon has great music. When it's on the TV and stuff, I'm always just like, yeah, this battle music, let's go. Like Persona 4 Golden obviously has amazing music too. It's another Persona game. All of them have great music. Mm. So like everything on the JRPG side actually had really banging music. PSO2 was kind of forgettable, but it's also an MMO. So it's kind of on that like, cuff wise.
Yeah.
So that's my JRPG list. I don't know what you guys had. We covered a few of it.
Aside from, well, I did play Neo 2, which was an action RPG.
I think you're the only one of us who's played that, right?
I believe so. It's a Souls-like game, so I'm a huge fan of that, you know. So
yeah.
It is absolutely more of the same as Neo 1, but it adds a few new things to it that just made it a lot more fun. And the
level design
was good this time around. The new weapons they included were so much fun. I'm a huge fan of the Tonfas and of the Scythe, which they totally were inspired by Bloodborne.
Dude, I love Scythes. Like, it's always one of the coolest weapons when you have it. It's so impractical, but it's so cool.
So, like, in this game, you know there's that stance thing where you have a low attack, you switch to medium attack, switch to high attack.
Oh, sure.
Depending on your weapon, your moveset will change. Well, with that Scythe, each stance transformed into like the high stance with your full scythe out. The medium stance was kind of like a spear, and then the low stance was when it's folded and you just have like a small blade and you're just so like
weird.
It was so cool, and it was absolutely Bloodborne.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's a very Bloodborne.
It was great. I loved it.
It was pretty neat.
Yeah, it's absolutely more the same. So if you like Neo, you'll like Neo 2. I don't know if I'll get the DLC. I feel like I've had my fill with Neo 2.
Okay. You know? It's like I don't need to play any more of it, but it's still fun.
Yeah. And the other Souls game is Demon Souls, the original Souls game, the remaster, which was gorgeous. Probably the best looking game on PS5. And it runs incredibly well. Like, that's the game that you show people, like, hey, this is a PS5 game. Like, this is
right
what we're going to be seeing in the future. And I was blown away, especially if, like, it was already a good game from the PS3, but like the way it looks and runs now is so much better. The new animations were really good, even though it like kept the exact same timing and hitboxes. Like, that's very impressive and really cool. It was so good. It was an incredible game. Definitely one of my top games. And I guess the last, we could say the other big one, Final Fantasy VII.
That's my last game for JRPGs, really. Like, it's, 7 is just I don't know. I've been thinking about it a lot. Like, it's definitely kind of stuck with me. And obviously, this is something that we should go over more when we have the season in review. And yeah. Obviously, we had an entire hour episode about it.
We had two episodes about 7R.
Yeah. Yeah.
Already.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, it's... Yeah, I played it, but it's not super imperative that I talk about it some more. Like, I already have a lot of content out about it.
I platinumed it way back in the day, but I want to play it again. But I'm holding off my, you know, me playing it until we get an announcement for the second part.
That's me too. I plan on going back and like finishing it. Like, I finished everything, but like platinum, like finished everything in terms of like trophy wise. I don't care about platinuming. It's not a desire. I don't need the trophies. I don't really care. Mm-hmm. But there's certain games where I'm like, I want to put the little bit of effort in because it's not that much more work.
Yeah.
And I want to do it because I like the game enough. Mm. I think I have like two trophies, and it's from Batman, the Telltale Batman ones, and you get those for free. Which, if you haven't played, pretty solid. So that does it for JRPGs then, huh? As a segment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm moving to indies real quick because I think I'm the one with most of that. I don't think Jack really had many on the indie scale, and I think Kai had a couple, right?
Yeah, I have one or two.
Okay. Should I just plow through it, or do you want to go through it and I'll chime in when, if it's something that's on mine?
Yeah, I'll talk about my two really quick.
Yeah, go for it.
So the first one that stands out, and this is the more recent one, is Untitled Goose Game. You know, this game came out last year. It had a multiplayer update this year, which was super cool.
I didn't get to try that yet.
Yeah.
It sounds so much fun, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I played it a little bit with my fiance, and I was just having a blast. But, like, the game itself, like, I'm not a big fan of stealth games. And when I saw this game, I really wasn't expecting it to be a stealth game.
Who does? You're a goose causing chaos.
But like, this is, like Jack said about like Dark Souls, this is a great game to just show to people, of just saying, hey, check out this game where you play as a goose. And it's just like, oh, well, games are getting ridiculous. And then there's like very legitimate thought behind it. There's a lot of really good gameplay, and obviously it has very good gameplay, or otherwise I wouldn't talk about it.
It's a very smart game that like does things you don't really expect, you know? Like, it's a game about, like, it's a very, like, weirdly, like, driven game where, like, the point is just go get a bell. But here's all this other stuff.
Yeah. And, like, it's just so well thought out. Like, the thing is, like...
Everything.
As a game designer, like, I, like, enjoyed every second of it because it was, like, very clearly, like, seeing what they thought you were going to do. And
oh, yeah.
Them and even like the designers outsmarting you at some points where it's just like, yeah, well, we thought you'd do that, so we did this to do that to make sure that, like, you know, that base is covered and stuff. And
absolutely,
that was
a lot
of the game. It was wonderfully crafted, great soundtrack, which we're basically saying for every game on this list, but like
it's true.
Good music came out this year.
Yeah
it really did.
It also had a really good a dynamic music system where the music would ramp up depending on like what was happening in the game and stuff.
100%. That was so cool. Where it's
dynamic music is nothing new, but to have it like react so quickly and so naturally to what you're doing in a game where you play as a goose is amazing.
I 100% agree with that.
I wish we just had DLC for different kinds of goose.
Like,
that'd be great.
In goose or something. Where's Beaker DLC? I want to play as Beaker.
Yeah. I do think that we will eventually get like a sequel or maybe even DLC for the game. Like, we have the multiplayer update, but the thing
it,
is like,
it was such a big deal in the indie world. I can't imagine that we're not getting a second one.
Yeah. The game did wonderfully. Like, it was very popular.
The vinyl was cool because it was all recycled stuff. That they used to make it, which I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
like eco-friendly really stuff.
And then my other one was Hollow Knight, and this one, you know, I'm reaching back a little bit. I mentioned this during our most recent magazine rack, but it was the free game on PSN, friend of mine was telling me to play it, and now that I'm finally playing it, I see why people really liked it. I see what all the hype is about. It's just as good as everyone was saying it is. And I'm not done with it yet. I'm still like my way through.
Well, as we said in the other one, like, it's such a well-designed game because it's like the gameplay itself, which is the most important part of that kind of game, is so clean and so well-designed.
Yeah, it just feels so good. Movement in that game feels amazing.
As we said before, you feel like a Hollow Knight.
Feel like the Hollow Knight, yeah. And yeah, because right now, I don't know if you guys have beaten it, but right now I'm going through the White Palace, which is how you get like a secret ending, which is just all platforming. Like, the entire area is just like very strict platforming. Oof. And I'm loving it. Like, I'm getting mad and I'm getting like frustrated, but at the same time, I'm like, fuck, they got me. Like, oh God.
Oh geez. So have you done the Path of Pain then?
Not yet. That's what I'm leading up to.
Oh boy, that's gonna be
a friend of mine, who knows, we'll link it eventually, but a friend of mine wanted me to record myself playing it. He has this idea that I'm like a god at video games, which I disagree with, but like, he's just like, I just want to hear you get mad about it. He's like, I want to see the person like can so flawlessly do these one frame links in Street Fighter get pissed at like some platforming. And I was like, okay, sure.
Oh man, that's awesome.
Yeah, well, that's great. I'm looking forward to that Silk Song.
Oh yeah, Silk Song, amazing.
What about you, Jack?
So it's been a great year for Souls players, because the other indie game I played was Mortal Shell, and that I had mentioned playing on a previous episode, one of these episodes, I don't remember what, I think it was a Magazine Rec.
I think it was either this, the most recent one, or the one before.
Yeah, I was thoroughly impressed with it. It was really short for a Souls game. It didn't overstay its welcome, though. I'd say it was very, every second was so much fun to me.
It was a driven experience kind of thing.
Yeah. It was, the combat was very similar to Souls games, but it added a new twist where there's no shielding, there's no blocking. You literally have to either dash through something, or you can turn to stone, which would pause your character, but it would take a hit, and you would take no damage from that hit. So that incorporated this whole new way to play where you can be attacking the guy and in the middle of your combo, you freeze and go to stone right as the guy's about to hit you, and then you can keep continuing your combo, but then you have to time it so that it, like, you don't get hit by another follow-up attack. You have to like dash out of it. So like, it adds a really interesting new way to play this Souls game, and a new kind of strategy, and it was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
And they added some new DLC that was free, that was really neat. New
That's
Halloween.
One of my favorite words, free DLC.
Oh, dude. So the soundtrack, though, I know we're talking about how great these soundtracks were. The soundtrack for Mortal Shell was a little bit lacking and not as interesting, but they included a new DLC soundtrack for the game, which the soundtrack is literally only the boss battles, but instead of the boss battle music, they would play songs from this band called Rotting Christ, which is a heavy metal band, and I never heard of them before. I think maybe Nick had mentioned them, one of our friends, Nick.
That's believable. We need to get him on right here.
That's hilarious.
I was thoroughly surprised. Like, I do like metal, and this was really good metal, and I was like, this is some solid songs. And oh my gosh, it really added to the atmosphere of the boss battles and just made them more intense and so much more fun.
That like epic, like, as you like fight
to be in this fight with this heavy metal music in the background.
That's awesome.
I want more of it. It did really well, enough to get a physical release.
Nice. Limited run?
Not limited run. Sell enough digitally that they were able to fund their own physical release, which is really neat.
That's awesome.
So hopefully we get another one or more DLC in the future.
I guess we'll see.
I had a blast.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. So my list for indies is much longer than these guys, but I'll try and get through it quickly enough. We're not trying to make this like, you know, a 3 hour long episode, because if I talked to at length about everything, it would be a 3 hour long episode. I'll kind of work my way backwards from my like top like two or three. Okay. Bug Fables. I didn't get to put as much time into this as I would like, but it is a like, it's an amazing take on Paper Mario. Like, they brought Paper Mario back to what Paper Mario is, way more than Origami King, because like Paper Mario became not Paper Mario starting at like the Wii. And so it's been a long time since we've had like a good one, you know, like a good one, because it's an RPG, right? Mm. This brought it back to like the 64 and GameCube era Paper Mario games. And it's quite refreshing, because I'm like, man, I miss this. and I know I can't, Jack, you need to pick this up, because I know how much you miss the old Paper Marios.
Mm-hmm. I know, that's definitely on my I want to playlist.
Yeah. I played a little bit, not very much, like very little of this one, but I like what I played was a Panzer Paladin.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that one.
Yeah, it's a pretty solid game. Where like you can jump out of your paladin machine thing, and like run around as like a small person. You can jump back in. You have all these like bunches of weapons that you can like break down and do a bunch of stuff with. It's a very well-made game. It's kind of got one of those like, kind of looks like you're playing something on a Super Nintendo or something like that kind of vibe.
Yeah,
but it's well made. I highly recommend it after a little bit I've played. Next up, Sayonara Wild Hearts. This is, I think, the only rhythm game I've played this year, any sort of rhythm game, but it is such an enthralling experience, because like the music is so well done. I bought the vinyl for it after like barely playing the game. And like, it's very fun. If you're playing a rhythm game, but it doesn't feel like you're playing a rhythm game, because you're like, you're doing dodges and movements and stuff like that to the music. You know what I mean? It's a very, very, very fun game. Very well done. I think that was produced through IM8-Bit, I believe, in terms of like physical copies and stuff like that. Yeah. I think it was part of the Annapurna like circle of games that they make. I can recommend it if you want to play like some sort of rhythm game, because it's a different kind of rhythm game, and it's fun. It conveys a story with it. I enjoyed it. Another game that didn't come out this year, actually, I think those two did, is Valhalla. I finally played some of it this year. Loved it.
Oh, I love Valhalla.
Yeah, it's such a fun game. Like, you're a bartender, but man, there's so much more to the game than just bartending.
Oh, it's so though. It's such a great vibe, and I love playing it.
It's got a great atmosphere. It's got a great, like, style. It hits so many different points that I absolutely love. And I really need to like put the effort into finishing it, because I absolutely loved what I played of it. And just like speaking the story they made.
Max too.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, it has the whole jukebox thing and then everything else on top of it. It's a very well done soundtrack. I finally was able to buy the vinyl again. I'm a vinyl man. I'm going to talk about, I bought a vinyl for a large chunk of the games on my list because I loved them. And Valhalla is one of the ones I've been trying to get. Like, I think the game came out, 2017, 2018? And they've done several presses of this vinyl. And I was finally able to get one because Fangamer had it in stock. And I just kind of kept putting it off. I'm like, I want it, but I don't want to pay the import fees. Because, like, you had to get it from... I think they did a couple launches of it in the U.S. And I just missed it every time. And I'm like, man, what am I doing? And I finally got it. It was off, like, Fangamer, I think it was. And I got it at a good price. So I'm like, hell yeah, I'm going. Let's go. And the music in it is so good. It's such a good ambiance. I love it so much. Moving on, Carrion. What a game. Like, you are a carrion crawler causing this havoc in this like facility. It is brutal. You're going around eating dudes and growing bigger, and just causing chaos. It is so much fun as a game, with like a bunch of like little like puzzles and stuff you have to figure out, or you have to get stronger before you can proceed and stuff like that. Highly recommend it. Now here's my like top three indies kind of thing that I've played this year. Starting with, let's go with Katana Zero. This game, I got sucked into it for probably like a good 2 weeks, like just trying to do everything and stuff. It is so much. Have you guys seen it or played it at all? Really?
I have seen it. I haven't played it yet.
Yeah, I've seen quite a bit of it, and I know like the twist ending, but that's like
I don't know that. Please don't tell me. So much fun. Like the whole mechanic of like time freezing and everything else, and like it takes a lot of things that you've seen before, but does it in a new way, and it's very enjoyable. I love the game. I didn't know it existed until this year. Which bet on me, but it's worth it. Also got the vinyl choice. I highly recommend it if you haven't played it. You are like cyberpunk samurai with like time stop drugs. Yeah, it's super fun. Hades. Neither of you guys have touched that yet, right? I know Ty was talking about doing it.
Yeah, I'm. I've had my finger hovering over the buy button for a while, but I haven't pressed it yet.
Mm. It's good. If you like games like Gungeon, if you like games like Wizard of Legend, things like that, it takes that format and just elevates it. Like everything about it was very well done. If you don't like that kind of format of games, I probably wouldn't recommend it to you. But it's a game that you can seriously spend a lot of hours in, and like. It's 100% worth it. It's very well done. It also has like, you know, Greek pantheon type stuff. You get boons, you get all these crazy abilities. It's the best one of those, that style of games. And it comes from somebody who really loves Gungeon and Wizard of Legend. It nails comedy, seriousness, play, like gameplay, everything, like kind of right on the nose, and it's very well done. It deserves all the praise it got from the Game Awards, just being in the top games of the year. Highly recommended. My last one on this list is Star Renegades. This was a game that came out this year on PC and then eventually came over to Switch. I personally played the Switch copy. At launch, it was broken. But it is such a good experience. I was able to play through, it was like the first two planets, something like that. And then I had like a game bug where it autosaved and it got stuck in like a loop. Because it autosaves quite frequently, and even in battle. And basically like an animation basically took up too much space and it just crashes the game every time. They had a whole lot of issues like that for the Switch version. Within the first like, I think it was like week or two, they knocked out almost all of those issues, which is like... Wow. A kudos. Like, it's a small team. I think they had somebody else handle the Switch port majoritively. Yeah. Like, they were involved, but it was mostly another team that handled it.
That doesn't really surprise me, because we've had similar issues in other games that I've played where they brought it over to new consoles. Just a quick aside, they brought Street Fighter 4 over to PS4, and it immediately had an issue in which if you crouched as characters, it would play a car sound.
What?
Yeah, so like whenever double crouch, you're like crunk, 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 constantly, and it was so funny. But like, I like having a bunch of issues on like a Switch or a port specifically, it's either it's gonna go fine or everything's gonna go wrong and it's gonna get fixed very fast,
right? But they buckled down and did it, and I'm pretty sure it's a fairly small team who worked on it, and I just got to commend them for how fast they fixed everything and how good that game is. If you want to play a really good, like, roguelike tactical RPG, oh yeah. This game is so good. It has all the sci-fi goodness. They actually, I think it's just for the PC one currently, but I'm sure, I think it's supposed to come early next year, I want to say. And early next year, they're supposed to be launching on PS4. Right now it's on PC, which launched first, then it's on Switch and Xbox One currently. But they have a new planet they're adding. I think right now there's four. This is going to be the fifth new planet. It's like an ice level where it's kind of like, I think, I don't know if it was just a website that I read that said this or if it was the actual like title for the update, but it's the Imperium Strikes Back, which is like, it's an ice planet too, which is perfect. So well done. So much fun. It's very good. It's probably my favorite, despite the bugs and stuff. One of my favorite indies of the year, because I was playing Hades right around the same time, and I put down Hades, considering how good that game is, to play this. The sprite work, the design, everything was so well done, and it's so much fun. And it kind of has like certain elements from like XCOM-style games and stuff, too, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's my indie list, which is more than three games or two games. I think it was like eight or nine.
I did think of one. I did remember one while you were talking, and the reason I forgot about it is because it was so recent.
Ah, gotcha.
That I like barely registered that it came out. Have you guys ever heard of Friday Night Funkin'?
No.
No.
So it's a game that you just put on Newgrounds, and it's a D&D type game.
Ooh.
Or not D&D, DDR.
Oh, less cool for me, but
yeah.
Still, so
in a lot of ways, it's like a rhythm game, and I suck at it. Because we keep talking about music, I just downloaded the entire album for it, and I'm waiting for, I paid like $1 for it, and then I'm waiting for Bandcamp Friday to like actually buy it.
Yeah.
Or to like pay a lot more, because the soundtrack is so good. Like the soundtrack is like something else. Like it's amazing. You'll have
to send it to me. Even though I'm terrible at rhythm games and stuff like that specifically, some of the music are bangers. Like you'll be like, where did this come from? It's so good. Like the Persona dancing games. It's like, I didn't think this track could get better, but it's a completely different genre and it's so good. and same thing with a bunch of other games. Like that happens all the time and it's amazing. So you're going to have to send me a link to that because I want to check that out.
Yeah. Like they have one song on there.
What was it called?
M.I.L. It's called, the game is called Friday Night Funkin'.
That's such a goofy name. I love it.
The whole plot of it is that your character is trying to impress their girlfriend by doing rap battles.
That's amazing.
And the characters kind of like talk like Splatoon characters where it's like,
oh, really?
Like instead of anything, but it sounds really good. But there's one song, M.I.L.F.
No.
That is, yeah. And it is like, no, it is a banger. Like the entire song is just amazing. It reminds me of a lot of like early, like 2010s, like dubstep and like,
oh, sure.
Kind of the drum and bass, especially at like old anime conventions. Like the entire soundtrack like sounds like it could be played at like 2009 Anime Central.
Oh god. Oh no.
It's so good. It's so good.
Don't touch the walls.
Don't touch the walls. Don't let that person hug you.
You know, or
you
let
them plomp you.
You know the guy. You don't. Oh man. All right. We got a large studio, right?
Yeah,
is next. So we're counting basically anything that's bigger than certain size of like studio. So like it's not necessarily AAA, but just big studio stuff is kind of our next section.
Yeah.
So what about you guys? You guys start and I'll jump in.
I can jump in. Ghost of Tsushima has been a good one.
So playing. Good. It's so good. Number one aesthetically pleasing game of the year for me.
We're still playing the multiplayer. We're actually gonna play some later today.
Yeah.
So like it's still good. It's so much fun. I actually just reached 100 key, so now I can start
the raids.
I can start doing the raids. I haven't done it yet, but I can.
Nice, so, that's awesome.
I'm excited for us to all catch up so we can do it together.
You've been playing without us? Rude.
So you guys can't do gold yet, so I'm like, well, I want to keep going. I'm almost there.
But yeah, man, the game is super fun. Both gameplay style, aesthetic, everything. It's so good. It really is. Like on multiple levels.
I'm thinking about jumping back into the main game because I never finished it. I only did the first island.
Yeah, I need to finish it. I didn't even finish the first island, I don't think. Maybe I did. I don't remember. I need to go back.
I've gotten the gameplay down so much on the multiplayer. I feel like it's going to be easy.
Just breeze through it. Well, the thing is, there's so much of that game. It's just like exploring like little nooks and little things and like, oh, there's a fox. You got to go follow it to find the secret. You know, there's so much more than just the combat.
I was dying in combat though,
oh, really?
Left or right. Yeah, and I wasn't even doing hard mode. I just could not do it. But gotcha. I think I get it now, so I can jump back into the main game and just like wreck house, you know?
Yeah, the biggest issue for me was like once in a while you get like, all right, this I'm not supposed to be in this area, and just get bopped in one hit, and you're like, okay, I'll come back later. But outside of that, I was able to take things several levels above like where I should be and stuff.
Yeah,
but the game is it's so good. I love it.
So aside from that, finished Crash 4. Crash 4 is good. It was solid. It was a great Crash Bandicoot game. I just hated the collect-a-thon stuff and me being a completionist, trying to collect everything is impossible and not fun. So I'm not going to do that.
I need to get back to the Crash 4 grind. Like I got distracted with Hollow Knight, and like, you know, I've also been playing, you know, Last Story and other stuff. Mm-hmm. But like, oh God. Cause like, that's the thing about Crash 4 is that like the levels are amazing. The music's really good. Like everything looks great. And then you're like, I'm having a lot of fun. And then you finish the level and you're like, I missed 5 crates.
Or just this one is
the game of all time. Yeah. Oh. Or like, I missed one crate. Like where the hell was it?
That was the big complaint I heard, was like, there's so many like things that are too obscure, or like, this shouldn't be in this place because it's so obscure. And then you have to like, cause there's only there's only a handful of like actually like unique levels. And then you play it backwards or things like that, which is normal. But like the amount of times you actually have to like replay a level that I heard was like the biggest complaint that people had.
Yeah.
And the load times suck. So it makes waiting even longer.
Yeah. The load times aren't great, which is annoying.
That's hard.
Do we know if the load times are better on PS5?
All load times are better on PS5. It's the way it reads everything.
Yeah. Because that's the thing about Crash 4 is that you play through the level normally, and you try to get as many crates as possible, and then you have to play through the level again to get all the crates.
Yeah.
Then you do it one more time to make sure that you die less than 3 times.
I don't know if you guys watched. Don't
die at all.
If you guys watch Kid Icarus, he did a great rundown, and I'm like, holy crap!
Yeah, I need to watch that. Yeah, and then you have to do all of those same things in the like weird version of the level, which to be fair is also like really fun. Like I really do enjoy doing those. And
then you also have to do everything and not die.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard it was pretty like, it's a lot. if you want to do everything.
I think the game is better if you're not a completionist.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's what I've heard too. So
I just went, my goal was just to get all the costumes, which is totally doable.
Yeah.
And I did that. And nice. I had a great time.
Yeah, I heard that wasn't too bad. And I'm like, that's probably, if I played it, that's probably what it'd be, but I'm not a big Crash guy, so I'm probably not going to go out of my way to play it. But that's what I've heard. It was like, if you want to do it like light, where you just get the costumes, things like that, like the basic stuff, like play it. It's worth it. Like it's a very well-designed, well-made game, but if you want to do every single little thing, it's a lot.
Yeah. Another game I could talk about, but I don't believe either of you guys have played. Grand Blue Fantasy Versus?
Nope.
No.
That's a fighting game, isn't it?
Yes, that's a fighting game.
That's Thai territory.
Yeah, this is my home. This is my place. So it's made by Arc Systems, who I made fun of earlier this episode for the Blaze Blue stuff. And I will continue to make fun of them because the game has been out for less than a year and has 2 seasons of DLC, and each season's $35.
Oh, wow. Mm. So, that's gross. Yeah, the structure of fighting game characters, like payment stuff, ticks me off. Like, I get it if it's a crossover character, because like you have to pay licensing and stuff on that. That makes sense. Like, all right, a Tekken character from previous games, that shouldn't be $7. It should be $3 or something like that. But like crossover characters, okay, you got Turtles, you got the Mortal Kombat crossover or whatever else, right? You got to pay Batman. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Like in Tekken 7, there's Noctis and a bunch of other ones, and those guys were like $7 instead of whatever it was. So,
yeah, Noctis and Geese came over, which was super hype.
Yeah, right.
But I could go into a whole thing. I have literally talked to Eric for like hours on end about how I hate fighting game DLC now.
It's dumb.
That's its whole other episode. I could literally that like you talked about how you could do like an entire series on video game vinyl. Same thing with me and like just complaining about fighting game like DLC. but the one I do have to give it to him, it's a solid fighting game. It's a little bit more tailored towards newer players. It's not a hard fighting game, but it's complex enough and it leans you into that complexity like well enough that it doesn't feel forced. The game doesn't feel too hard, it doesn't feel too easy. Like I've had some really good matches in it, and like
that's great for a fighting game.
Yeah, and I have the first season of DLC. I just purchased the second season, so I haven't messed with those characters too much. But like the characters are really fun to play as.
I mean, that's everything.
Yeah,
like if you want to play a character, like why would I buy this DLC for a character that I want to play as if they don't feel like them?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. And I'm not a big fan of like Grand Blue as a whole.
Yeah.
Like, I play the game a little bit, but I'm not like invested.
That it's a grind. If you want to do everything, like it's nuts. One of my coworkers plays it a ton because they can play it at work with on the browser at work. So they don't. Yeah. So that it's so funny. But so you can play it on your mobile or on the PC like that. And I'm like, all right, that's smart.
Yeah. And
but it's a grind. You're always grinding. And if you're not, you're losing. And even then you're still losing.
Exactly. Like it's a mobile game that has so much investment in it, which I can't do.
That's most mobile games at this point. If you want to be in top tier, you're going to be grinding a lot. Or spending a lot of money.
Yeah. But if you like fighting games, I recommend it. If you want to get into a fighting game and you like anime games, I really recommend it. Hmm. My only complaint is that whenever I play multiplayer, I always try to do fighting games in person.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, I really like the personal element to it. I really like talking to people about it.
You can mess with people. Online.
Yeah. I hate playing online because of Wi-Fi and like Grand Blue doesn't have the best net code, which is like a big issue right now with it.
That sucks.
But if you want to get into fighting games, if you just want to like, if you actually want to have a fighting game to like get into, Grand Blue is like a great entry point.
Hmm. I'll check it out. What platforms is that on?
It's right now only on PlayStation.
Gotcha.
On PlayStation 4 and I think 5.
Well, if it's on 5, it should be cross-platform. Or it's on 4, so it should be good.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's awesome.
I think the only other game that I would like to mention is just Hyrule Warrior Age of Calamity. Just how incredible it was being like,
dude, you love that thing.
Oh my gosh. It's also just like the game that has gotten more people into the Warrior series than any of the other ones in the past.
It makes sense. Like, it's Zelda. It's
more accessible for people because it's so well done and there's so much in it that makes it more unique than the other Souls games.
Souls. Warriors.
Warriors games. Yes.
You have two modes. Warriors and Souls.
That's really the only two kinds of games I like is Warriors and Souls.
Wolves.
I don't know on this podcast. Warrior Souls. When are we getting the Dark Warriors series? Anyway, yeah, it's such a good game in every aspect, in the music, the gameplay, the content. I've 100%ed it. It's very easy to 100%. I did it in like 60 hours. So. And I'm just waiting for DLC to drop. I'm waiting for that news, man.
That's fair.
I'm itching for it. I need some more. Which will probably get announced alongside Breath of the Wild 2.
That makes sense.
It makes sense having them both be near each other.
I would wait for the anniversary to expect anything from probably Zelda stuff. The ones that we didn't cover that I kind of want to talk about real quick is Miles Morales. It is the biggest reason why I wanted a PS5 early, and it is incredible. Everything that the original Spider-Man game did, it did better. Like, it's so much cleaner. It's so much better to like in combat, and it still has like the attitude, like not attitude, but like the feel that you want playing a Spider-Man, and it is incredible. I'm very excited to see what they do moving forward with that. Let's see. We're going to do an episode at some point about Cyberpunk 2077 because me and Jack were very excited about that with our friend Ian.
It happened already, but some bugs are keeping me from finishing it.
We were talking earlier that for both me and Jack, it's on both the best and worst games of the year list because like the bits of what we have are absolutely incredible, very well written, very what you'd expect from CDPR. And then there's the bugs the bugs make it kind of hard to deal with sometimes. But we'll go deeper in that on our actual episode for it. Should be coming hopefully soon-ish. We'll see. But I had to mention it because it was a very big launch for the year. Obviously, everyone's been talking about it nonstop the last couple weeks. Mm-hmm. Also, Genshin Impact. I don't personally play it anymore. I played it for several weeks, got super into it, went hardcore. It was a lot of fun. I mean, at a time when there's really nothing really coming out, it was a free game that was fun. Like, it's Breath of the Wild with gacha plus anime, like super anime stuff. It did what I needed it to when I played it, basically. But I have a bunch of friends who still play it and they still love it. And like, they're coming out with new characters and new areas and stuff like that. And they're consistently expanding it. So I can see myself going back to it at some point. But it's pretty cool. So, and I don't know how we didn't. Oh, let me go with Assassin's Creed Valhalla real quick, because that was a sleeper hit for me. Not a big Assassin's Creed person at all. I haven't played one since the first one. Valhalla changed it for me. It feels like a story-driven game where you're a Viking going around. It feels like an extension to like the Vikings TV show or something like that. It is so well done and so much fun to play. I thoroughly enjoyed that. And I don't know how we didn't talk about this. Animal Crossing New Horizons. Like, that's the game that got, I know all three of us played it during pandemic, like when it was hardcore lockdown everywhere, just like everyone else in the country or world even. It's still super good. It's still like, they're continually pumping out updates for it like every month. Like I said, I haven't played it in a while, but like, man, that needs to be on our like top large studio games list, because man, that was such a, it's a banger.
It was definitely emotionally uplifting for me when it came out.
It was refreshing.
It's a game that I've gone like back and forth on whether or not I consider it like game of the year worthy, but like,
it is considering the circumstance, but at the same time there's other games I enjoyed more personally.
Yeah, but also at the same time, it's like I'm still playing it, like I still like check in on it every day. I still have a lot of fun playing it, and like, you know, if there's a meteor shower, like me and my fiance will like hop onto each other's islands.
Yeah, I mean, that says everything about it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Like that's the thing, is like it hasn't had this like huge impact on me where I'm like constantly thinking about it or I'm very inspired by it. But it's a game that I still play to relax.
It's enough to keep you coming back.
Yeah, it's literally like the most comfortable blanket.
Like, that's a good
kick. You know what? I just need this today. I just need to be a little warm today. I'm gonna say hi to my boy Stitches. I'm gonna hang out with Dom for a couple minutes. Like
that is a great explanation of how Animal Crossing New Horizons felt. Was it's a warm blanket. I love that.
Yeah.
Like the thing is it's not the most flashy game. It's not like super inspired. It doesn't have like, you know, this like goosebumps moment, but it's fun. I do enjoy playing it. I like coming back to it. I like just wrapping myself in this blanket for a little bit and just like stressing for like half an hour.
Yeah, absolutely. It's perfect.
Yeah. And literally no other game this year has done that for me. So I do have to give it some amends for that.
No, absolutely. I think that's it for me for large studio stuff. And you guys already covered yours. So let's, I have, mobile games I wanted to talk about real quick. Two games, and I talked about them, I think, last episode a little bit, was Tales of Crestoria is the first one. That's my bread and butter. Like, if you see me, like, messing around on my phone, I'm usually doing, like, a raid or something on that game. But the story, like, there's issues of the game, and they're slowly working on them. There's a lot of grind to it, but, like, what's there? If you want a story, it's there. Like, they're working on it. Like, every month you get more content to it. But as a huge fan of the series, it's so, like, it's good. And they go into some pretty deep topics, which I appreciate. And it's fun. And end of the year, we're getting a new Luke unit. And I'm so excited because it's New Year's Luke. And, yeah. But they keep producing more content to it. And despite people having issues with it and stuff, I hope that you know, they don't close the server or something, which is possible because they closed Raze in the US. I hope they just combine them or something, because I absolutely adore the game and I want to keep getting story content. And then another Eden really surprised me with how much I like it. Turn-based, nothing like super deep or complex, but like still super fun as a turn-based RPG on your phone that you don't really feel obligated to spending a bunch of money on. Which is refreshing, because there's a lot of like mobile games that's like, cool, if you want to be anywhere good or if you want to get past this thing, spend money. This one gives you enough resource that, like, if you have an issue fighting a boss, you can do it. Well, I mean, you're still spending some of the premium stuff on it, but they give you enough of it where it's not an issue. Unless you're doing, like, a ton of pulls, which then you should be spending money on it anyway.
Yeah.
Did you have anything on mobile games, Ty? I know Jack doesn't really play mobile games.
Nah.
I have a couple, and I'm just going to touch down on them really quick. So I've said it before. I'll say it again. We're going to talk about this in a larger episode. I really enjoy Final Fantasy Opera Omnia.
Mm, yes.
Going for, I think, like almost 5 years now. Maybe 4 years. It's still pretty reasonable. It's getting to the point where, like, there's a lot you have to do to max out a character. And I feel like part of the reason...
It's mobile games at this point.
Because what I liked about it at first is that you only had one thing to max out. You just had to max out their gear. And then now it's been, like, kind of slowly growing where there's more and more things for you to max out a character.
Makes sense.
But because I've been playing since the beginning, it's not, like, a big deal for me. Because it's like, oh, well, I also need this new thing. Well, I have all these resources saved up.
I have everything else, yeah.
Yeah. And that just keeps happening. Like, the most recent phase of the game... Because we kind of call each, like, phase of the game, like, we usually name it after the new mechanic.
Oh, sure.
And right now we're in the Lunafreya, I think it's Lunafreya, like, era, where it's, like, this new difficulty of things where you get, like, better armor and characters are getting up to level 80 now. Mm. And the game's, like, hard. Like, for a mobile game, for a mobile RPG, like, even if you have, like, the maxed characters and the boosted characters for the event and stuff, it's still, like, tough. And it's still making me, like, kind of think about, like, oh, how do I approach this boss? Like, checking in resources. And, like, no other mobile game has really done that for me. It really feels like I'm fighting, like, super bosses from the original Final Fantasy games.
Oh, that's cool.
Because I just have to do research. I have to think about all this. I have to be like, well, I have to calculate this out. Like,
yeah, the little bit I played of Opera Omnia was really good. And I kind of wish I stuck with it, but I lost... I changed my phone or something, and I lost the... any progress that I had. And I was like, at that point in the game's launch, which was years ago now, was like end game kind of thing, at least for what was out. And I'm like, man, I really don't want to do that whole grind again. It's not too bad, but it's still like a lot. Like, there's a lot of story and stuff. And I've like experienced a good chunk of it. And I'm like, it wasn't good enough story wise for me to do it again, for me at least. But the gameplay is super fun. Like, I'm like, oh, man, I have to sit through the story, but, ooh, I get to fight this thing, and it's really cool.
Yeah, and that's... so, like, Opera Omnia is still going strong for me. It's still getting updates. It still has a ways to go to catch up to JP. We're also getting global exclusive stuff all the time. Well, not all the time. We get it, like, twice a year.
Oh, that's cool. But, I like that when they make it, like, a reason to stick in that, you know?
Yeah, because we got Aranea before. Ooh. JP got Aranea.
You know I love my Dragoons. And RNA is like, was like, we barely got anything of her, but she was dope. I'm about it.
I wish she got her DLC.
I know.
She was a top tier unit in the game for a while. Like, she was like a must run in Opera Omnia. She was so overpowered when she came out. And she's fallen off since, but it's because she just came out in JP. So, like, they brought her up to speed in JP, and we still have to wait a while until we get all her stuff that JP gets.
Gotcha. That's weird. That's interesting, though.
Yeah. And then we also got Beatrix first, if you're a Final Fantasy Knight fan. And then Vivi got a special weapon and a special Amano costume.
Oh, baby.
Which, it looks super nice, but it's not worth $35.
Oh, yeah, no. It's like Amano, like his original art colorway kind of thing.
Yeah, they changed the outfit so it looks like the old Amano art. It's
like the final, like the Warrior of Light with the red costume kind of thing, right? That kind of thing. Yeah. Gotcha.
And it is, oh god, it is stunning. But so I'm still playing Opera Omnia. I still love it. I got back into War of the Visions recently for the Final Fantasy IV event.
We talked about nice.
Before. And my only problem with War of the Visions is like they keep introducing these like original characters, and it's like, yeah, this is cool.
But who are they?
Where's all the characters that I want? Like, they did the Final Fantasy IV crossover event, and I loved it.
I think IV was the first like major game crossover, wasn't it? Well, no, they had Final Fantasy I, which all you got was Warrior of Light. Stopped playing like right before, like slightly before that, and then came back just for it to dump anything that I had left into getting him and I didn't get him, I'm like, all right, I'm not sticking. Because I love my boy. But outside of that, that besides Tactics, that's like the first like mainline crossover. Because FF1 is kind of like, there's a character, it's a special event, but it's not like a crossover event. FF4 had a ton of characters.
They did have a 14 crossover event.
I know they, at the very beginning, you had Thancred.
Yeah,
that's right.
And then there's another one coming up in the future that it's a Final Fantasy X crossover where you get Unatidus and Auron.
My guess is they're saving it for the FF7 Part 2, maybe. If they do 7. FFBE was fun, but it's also another game that you have to like grind a little too much for.
Yeah, it ramped up too fast for me, which is why I just... or at least Brave Exvius. I still remember when they got, I think, 7-star units or 6-star units.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
You had like a 0.001 chance of pulling them. And I was like, screw this.
Well, the point is you pull the lower, like the 5-star, and then build those up to 6-star. I don't know. I didn't like FFBE, but I liked War of the Visions enough because I played it for a couple months. Versus BE, which I played like a couple of times. I'm like, no. But we have, both of us have mutual friends that are like, we're super into it and played it like all the time and actually put money into it. So they wailed. Yeah. No.
Yeah. And then I'm going to touch down on two games really quick that are just like a quick shout out. Masketeers is a very fun idle game.
Okay.
It's very nice. AFK Arena is the same. And then I've talked about it before, so I'm just going to touch down on it. Legends of Runeterra, if you like TCGs. If you want a TCG that you don't have to put a bunch of money into, Legends of Runeterra is a lot of fun.
Cool. And then my last section would be 13, the want to play section. Like stuff that, like bigger titles or things like that we wanted to play but weren't able to, that we keep hearing are good or things like that. I only really have one on my list, and that's 13 Sentinels. I heard it's like okay gameplay wise. It's kind of visual novel-y, but like I heard the story is like absolutely incredible. And I really want to play it. I might try and pick that up at some point. What about you guys?
I definitely want to play that Yakuza like a Dragon game.
Yeah.
I have it, but it's just been on the back burner for all the other things I've been playing.
That's the thing. This was a full year of games.
Yeah, I had things to play, lots of them. So I have a backlog right now.
Right.
I haven't had for a while.
It feels nice.
Yeah.
What about you, Ty? Anything wanted to play that you didn't get to play?
Like a Dragon as well. Hades.
And
I'm going to give a quick shout out. I'm really mad because I keep forgetting the name of this game. But an artist that I follow on Twitter that I used to follow on Tumblr did the art for it.
Oh, really?
Trying to remember the name of the game. I think it's called, I want to say it's called Overworked.
Not Overcooked.
No.
Okay, because they did the re-release or whatever on those recently.
And it came up the same time as Hades. And it's the same kind of game. It's a dungeon crawler with like roguelike elements.
Mm.
But it's all themed about, like, you're an intern and you have to like kill the higher up. You get your business card and then you could play as them. And like the entire art style is like that, like your PowerPoint, like rounded edges art style. Yeah. Like it's very funny. Like,
oh, I think I saw like a trailer or something for this. I don't remember what it's called at all, but I know what you're talking about.
Here, let me check. I know the name of the studio. It's Aggro Crab.
While you look that up,
that's it. Going Under is the name of it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I had one more I forgot about. I don't know if you've guys seen it. The game that was basically like a kaiju fighting game, where you have like the computer man versus the like robot versus other stuff. That's like kind of like it reminds me of
I talk about Jackbox 6 with the rap battle.
Oh, that was fire.
They were like Overloaded or something. They came out with both of them this year, which was cool. Yeah, and Jackbox. Yeah, Jackbox is just continually a winner of a game. It's so much fun. Yeah.
I need to pick up. I feel bad because I worked for the company, but I haven't picked up 7 yet.
Yeah, I already had 7. Geez.
Yeah, I know. Because the thing is, like, it feels like 6 just came out, but because we're in
quarantine. Feels like five just came out.
Right. Usually, like, I have some industry friends that we usually meet up with around the time a Jackbox game comes out. Because, you know, everybody will bring food. We'll hang out. We'll, like, joke. We'll talk about the industry. And then someone just turns on Jackbox or the latest Jackbox. And we, like, go through the games and, like, test them out and see how it goes. And usually there's another QA person from Jackbox there with me. And we usually make fun of them if we ever find bugs.
Hmm.
Like, oh, Julia's gone to hell. Oh, we found this one minor issue. Like, oh, God.
Nice. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, Jackbox. Jackbox is always like, just, I want to play more of that because it's so goofy and so much fun. And even if you add one more person to your play group, it completely changes the dynamic and it's amazing.
What's that kaiju game called?
Is it Overloaded?
Overloaded?
I think it was something like that.
That's, you know what I'm Jackbox talking about? Yes, I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah, that game was like, I got to see it and it looks so much fun. Like, it's so goofy. And it's like exactly what you want for that kind of fighting game. It reminds me of another game like back in the day where you'd be like destroying it was a thing, but you destroy all like the buildings and different stuff like that. And man, it's great.
Destroy all monsters.
Yeah, something like, kind of like in that vein. I think it was called Overloaded. It was something like that. Overdrive, maybe? I don't know. Either way,
one of the overs. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, one of the overs.
Yeah. So. That's it for my want to playlist. I don't know about you guys.
Well, that's a lot of video games we just talked about.
Yeah, really, really. I'm surprised how much we got through in a little over an hour or so.
Well, Bill, is there anything else you would like to add? Wink, wink.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God.
I thought some of mine were bad, you know?
Man, them some good ads. Speaking of good ads, what are some of the top five games, guys?
Top five games. Top five games. Ty?
Right. Yep. So we weren't supposed to put them into a list, but I put mine into a list anyway.
Oh, dang. You're putting me on the spot.
Yes. So really quick, I'll just run through mine because we've talked about them this episode. Number five is Granblue Fantasy Versus. It's fun. The netcode's bad. Good fighting game, but I feel like I can't rank it higher only because I haven't played too much of it with other people. It's been a lot of the RPG mode, the story mode, etc. Number four is Legends of Runeterra. Good. It's a good mobile card game. It's better than Hearthstone, in my opinion. That, boom.
Dang, shots fired.
Yeah, shots fired. Number three is P5R. I demoted it a place because, as we said earlier, it's kind of a DLC. That being said, still an amazing RPG. Highly recommend to people who are a fan of Persona 5 or even just Persona. Even recommend it to people who just haven't really played any Persona. It was my first Persona. I loved it. It's great. Number two is Animal Crossing New Horizons. It's my blanket. It's my blanket. I love it. And then number one is Final Fantasy VII Remake. Like, the more I kind of reflect on it, my opinion has kind of changed on it, but I still give it the same, like, 9 out of 10 score. It's still a good game. It had its low points, but the thing is, largely, it was it felt like how they wanted to present Final Fantasy VII. Like, I think my only, like, legitimate, very, I don't even want to call it a very strong criticism, but my only criticism on it was, like, kind of the ghosts and the fate, like, kind of the last little bit of the game. Everything else about it was...
The like, little bit of jump the shark they did?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's fine. It makes it into a new thing, which yeah. I'm okay with.
It gives it its own identity. It's just, I felt like it just didn't, like, stick the landing, you know?
Yeah, I agree. That's apt. What about you, Jack?
So, number five, I got Nioh 2. It's a great Souls game, but it's more of the same. Number four is Mortal Shell. It's a great
Souls game.
Number three, Demon Souls. It's the
great Souls game.
And it's great. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful remake.
Hyrule Warriors. It's a great Warriors game.
Hyrule Warriors is the best Warriors game. It's really good content. It's really good. Game all around, and it's so much fun and easy and like to complete. It's worth playing. Final Fantasy VII is the best game of the year for me. It is. I reflect everything Ty said. It's great. Didn't stick its landing, but that's okay because we're gonna get something new and fresh, and I'm excited for that. That soundtrack. 200 something, like 59 or something tracks.
It's pretty crazy. It's impressive. So
good.
Oh, yeah. I didn't exactly mention the music. The music's amazing.
Oh, man. Again,
we need a music cast.
Yeah.
for hours. So, but yeah.
Yeah.
Seven, my game of the year. It's been nice. Great.
All right. I guess that just leaves me. So going backwards, number five is Yakuza Like a Dragon. I think when I starting with honorable mention is P5R. The only reason it's not actually on this list is exactly what we were talking about earlier, is it feels like a DLC thing. It was came out this year, but it's not different enough from the previous release. Love the game, deserves to be on the top five, but doesn't. So take that with a grain of salt. Number five would be Yakuza Like a Dragon. I want to play more of this. I feel like the more I've been playing it and seeing it, the more I've been enjoying it. Could be higher up on this list when it's done. However, as of right now, number five, worthwhile. Number four is a cheat. I put it kind of as my indie slot, where it's Hades and Star Renegades. Both scratch a different itch, but both are very well done. I couldn't decide between the two which one I wanted there. Hades is amazing. I mean, it deserves all the accolades it's been receiving. It's an amazing game made by like not a huge team, which I'm all for that, for the indie games and everything else. But I'm 100% for it. Again, Hades, Star Renegades, number four. Number three would be Spider-Man Miles Morales. Man, like I said earlier and gushed about, such a well-done like it made an already amazing game even better. And I'm so excited to see what they do with it in the future. It's such an aesthetically pleasing game. Like they made the combat even cooler. You have these venom attacks that like are like a spectacle. They're so cool. I absolutely adore the game. Number two is Final Fantasy VII Remake. It is everything that we've talked about. We've talked about it many, many, many times now. We keep bringing it up. There's a reason for that. It's that good. And I'm not going to go any further into it because we've already talked about it multiple times on the show, as well as you guys just talked about it. Plus, then we talked about it earlier in the episode.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy VII Remake. It's fantastic. Go play it. number one for me this year is Ghost of Tsushima. It is the most aesthetically pleasing game I think I might have ever played in both design, in both everything. I mean, like, the story is solid. But like this game is stunning, stunningly beautiful on almost every single way. Even the multiplayer, beautiful. Like they use colors in so many unique ways. They like the navigation is wind. Like, and you're like, you're following the wind. And like the way that they wrote it into the story is so cool. And like everything about it is just pleasing to the eye. It like combat is beautiful because I mean like when you're beheading there's like the blood fly and everything else and like I can't get enough of this game. It is so beautiful. So for me, and I haven't even finished the game, and it is my game of the year.
Damn.
So, I absolutely adore the game, and we're going to go play more of that later tonight. So, yeah. And it, I mean, it came out earlier enough in the year too, so I got to like a lot more reflection into it. And it keeps coming back to me like, oh, man, I need to finish this. Like it keeps popping back into my brain, which also says something for me. Cause I am very forgetful. yeah, that's my, top 5, 6, 7 games of the year.
That was our top 5.
Yeah. So with that, I think that's, kind of the end of the episode, right?
Yep. That sounds like a wrap.
Yeah. This was Bill.
This was Ty.
And that was Jack. And this is Magazine Rack.
I'm proud of you. bye.
See you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.